ABC Radio Australia.
Many people on the island of Niue are in mourning today following the death of their long-serving Premier Sir Toke Talangi. Sir Toke passed away yesterday at the age of 69 after a period of illness. He'd been in New Zealand for medical treatment but returned home on Sunday. Sir Toke served in Parliament from 1999 until earlier this year when he lost a bid for a fifth term in office. He became Niue's Premier in 2008 and has been credited with streamlining the public service, strengthening the private sector and helping bring modern technology to the country with a submarine internet cable. Sir Toke also helped open up Niue to the rest of the world, pushing for a twice-a-week flight to New Zealand that helped drive its tourism industry and getting Niue membership into the United Nations. Niuean Dr. Colin Tukuitonga is an Associate Dean Pacific at Auckland University and was born and raised in Niue, and he joins me now from New Zealand. Good morning, Dr. Colin.
Good morning.
Dr. Tukuitonga, thank you for joining me. And how will Sir Toke Talangi be best remembered?
Well, I think for a number of things. On the plus side, he was clearly transformative. Some of the items you referred to, improving technology. He was also instrumental in getting Niue to join the Asian Development Bank. He was very vocal and visible in the Pacific regional activities, and at home he was driving a lot of the changes in the tourism sector, for example. So he would be remembered for many things. He's also remembered for how he did things. He was quite determined, often stroppy, but always spoke his mind, and some people would find that a little difficult to contend with. But a delightful, delightful person, and really only meaning good things for Niue and the Niueans, I think.
Sir Toke Talangi served as Niue's premier for 12 years. How did he manage to stay at the top for so long?
Oh, I guess politics, a number of things. I think people were impressed with what he did in terms of, you know, the changes to the public sector. He introduced a number of welfare payments for children and the elderly. He pushed hard to improve air services and shipping. Shipping was for the longest time very expensive, infrequent and unreliable. And I think through his work, he's stabilized that. Toke was always looking for new initiatives and ideas that would benefit Niue. So I think even if you disagreed with him, many people still believed in what he was trying to do for Niue. He was also, you know, a common man. He had the common touch. He managed to keep all of the assembly together, from, you know, high-profile public servants to people representing their villages. So a number of strategies. And, of course, he was a very astute businessman and politician.
You were speaking there about some new initiatives that he had brought in, and one of those was a four-day work week for civil servants. How did the public take to that new initiative?
Yeah, mixed reaction. I think some people felt it was sensible given the size of the public service. Some in the private sector were not impressed, and some in the community were equally unhappy not being able to be serviced on a Friday, for example. So if you had some business with the government, you'd have to wait from Thursday through to Monday in order to get it addressed. And it wasn't one of the most popular initiatives, is my understanding.
And at the moment, climate change is seen as the Pacific's number one challenge. How did Sir Toke Talangi help shape this view and also raise awareness around climate change?
Yeah, Toke Talangi, Sir Toke was in the original cohort with Ngāti Tong, the president of Kiribati, and Tony de Broome, the late Tony de Broome out of the Marshall Islands. There were a few of them in the original grouping that pushed hard to get the voice of the small islands heard at the global level. There's obviously a number of other initiatives since then. Henry Puna and Samoan Prime Minister Tulepa. This was the original group that pushed the item at the UN and at the global level, and Toke was in in that mix. Towards the latter part, of course, others came through, and he became unwell, so he often didn't attend some of the regional global meetings. But I regard him as one of the architects of the success of the Pacific Islands in getting climate change impact on the region recognized at the UN and the global level.
We were speaking just before about how he had been in office for 12 years and he did run for a fifth term in office this year, but he was not successful. Why do you think that was?
Well, I think people had come to the point where they thought maybe he's done a lot. It was time for him to take care of himself. People were aware that he was seriously ill and probably, you know, didn't have long to live. So those people probably thought that this was not a good thing. He was, of course, quite limited in being able to get out and about to meet and talk with people. So he was up against it, I think. I mean, I'm still in admiration of his tenacity and you know, desire to keep going. But I think a number of factors worked against him. Most of it was due to the fact that he was unwell.
And you were saying that he was part of that original group of Pacific leaders who really pushed the agenda of climate change to the world and to talk about how important it was for the Pacific. In light of that, what legacy do you think he leaves behind for the Pacific region?
Well, he was very outspoken in the Pacific region, and he was his own man, and he has a reputation at being very direct about things. So climate change was one. He was also quite keen on the free trade movement to try to open up trade. He was very supportive of shipping initiatives, you know, a number of issues in the region. And so I would say at the regional level, he'd be widely regarded, respected, and known for some of those things that we've talked about. On the island itself, I think he put Niue on the map. I mean, for many years, Niuean politicians were not that active or visible in the region. And Tokyo changed that. So he really got Niue actively participating in regional activities. I do know he was hopeful of getting Niue to join the UN, but there were lots of factors against that. He did manage to get Niue to join the Asian Development Bank. So, you know, he was very imaginative, creative, and looked out globally.